Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us, you know that our summer series is actually a series that are actually overviews of all the other series I've been doing in the previous 3 years or so. And we've been having a marvelous time looking at so many portraits of God in this overview fashion. And today we're coming to a portrait that I call, He is our prayer focus. He is our prayer focus. It's number 88. That's the series number I did. And it was back in March or so of 2023. It was a six-part series, and today I'm going to give you the 20 takeaways of that journey together. And again, the goal is just to kind of give you a feel for it, that if the Lord says, you know what, I want you to dig into the series, you can go to my website, markpg.org, where I have these broadcasts archived. Just click on the broadcasts box. Once you get to markpg.org, the next page, click on Portraits of God, and boom, you start having the list of all of these recent overviews for the summer, and then scroll on down to find the actual set of series that I've done. So again, this is a six-part series, number 88, called He is Our Prayer Focus, but today we're going to do the overview. And if you have your Bibles, you can start making your way over to Matthew 6. But we'll also go to Matthew 5 and Matthew 21 and Mark 1 and Luke 5, so forth. 20 takeaways that we'll look at as we see that the Lord is our prayer focus. And as you're making your way to Matthew 6, let's just go before the Lord, as is our custom, and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I just feel so honored to be able to come together with my brothers and sisters to sit at your feet and let you speak to us heart to heart as I do the best I can just to share the things you've been teaching me over the years and today about how you are our prayer focus and how you give us so many insights about how to pray throughout the scriptures. And so we are looking forward to today's journey through your love letters to see you as our prayer focus. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friends. Well, the Lord indeed is our prayer focus, and He yearns for us to understand His ways about prayer. By the way, just a quick reminder, prayer does not fit us for the greatest work. Prayer is the greatest work. I just love that quote. And there's another one. You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you can't do more than pray until you've prayed. So these kinds of quotes and so many more are out there to remind us that prayer is the way that we get to commune with God, converse with God, hear His whispers, hear His ways, get to know His heart and His character. And that's why we say that He is our prayer focus, and He yearns for us to, number one, if you're a note taker, number one, to pray in our inner room. This is the first of 20 things we're going to go through today. The Lord, our prayer focus, yearns for us to pray in our inner room. Matthew 6, verse 6 puts it this way. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Oh, my friends, I hope you have your personal quiet times with the Lord. You can do that so many ways, by the way. One of the ways that I do that is prayer walks. Early in the morning before the sun rises up, I love to walk out in the still night skies with all of the stars and the moon showing, or Saturn as it is of late, you can see in the eastern sky. And it just reminds me of the enormity and the grandeur of God. And in addition to prayer walks, you can take time to on your knees before the Lord. I love going on my knees before the Lord just to remind me in posture that He is worthy of my worship and praise. And then I love sometimes just to bury my head into a pillow or something as I'm praying, just to kind of a sense of kind of cocooning and cocooning and just kind of just getting intimate with the Lord and just utter quietness. He is our hiding place. And this is where He tells us all those secret things of all He wants us to be. It's also when we deal with matters of the heart that need to be dealt with. When we pray in depth, in heart, in mind, through scriptures, so many ways, through song. I love singing unto the Lord. I happen to play guitar, and sometimes I'll do that as I'm praying in the inner room, that private place where you can be uninterrupted. That's why I love this passage. When you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Well, here's number two, the Lord our prayer focus learns for us to, number two, pray with grateful praise, Matthew 6:9. And we're starting into the Lord's Prayer, as it's typically called, or probably more accurately, the disciples' prayer, as the Lord was answering the question or the yearning from the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And He says, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Hence, number two, pray with grateful praise. Open with grateful praise. Hallowed be Your name, O Lord. Just a reminder that praise is praising God for who He is. Now, thanksgiving, which we'll get to later, is thanking Him for what He does. And so do you take the time in your prayer focus, in your prayer time, to utter grateful praise? Wow, special thing. By the way, again, this is a six-part series, and these first three were covered in session one. So we come to number three now. Pray with humble deference. That's the next part of this Lord's Prayer or model prayer or disciples' prayer. Pray with humble deference. It says it this way in Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My friend, we all deal with suffering in this life, with the thorns. Yes, you know, we could say that the Christian life is like a bed of roses, but roses have thorns. You get the beauty and the wonderful fragrance, but there are also the thorns in this life. The fiery furnace stories tell us that there are difficult times that we work through. And yet when you see the stories of Scripture unfold of those who really got to know the Lord, they would pray with humble deference. Lord, it's Your kingdom come. Jesus in Gethsemane, Lord, Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Let this cup pass from me, and yet not my will, but Thine be done. We need to pray with humble deference. Now we go to message number two in the series with three more takeaways. We've said He wants us to pray in our inner room, to pray with grateful praise, to pray with humble deference. Number four, pray with daily dependence. It's put this way in Matthew 6:11 in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, we talked a lot about this, talked about the experience of the children of Israel in the wilderness, complaining they didn't have food, and God gave them daily manna, but they had to go out daily to pick it up, to have food, the manna food for the day. And if they didn't, it would spoil and they wouldn't have any. So it's a daily dependence upon the Lord. And it's a joy, really, just to cultivate that daily conversation with the Lord at the top of the day and at the end of the day. I love that. Pray with daily dependence. Then number five, the Lord our prayer focus wants us to pray with reflexive forgiveness. Pray with reflexive forgiveness. Matthew 6:12. Again, the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Of course, we have classic stories to amplify this about Peter saying, how many times shall I forgive a person? Seven times. The number of completion is all done and over. And Jesus goes, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Always, every day, immediately, reflexively. It's cultivating heart that is unoffendable. Don't get offended. Just grant forgiveness immediately and move on. Don't be held captive by the things that have been done to you that were sinful or wrong or insensitive. We can get bitter, angry, hurt, wounded, and stay there, not if we reflectively forgive. So we go to the Lord with that hurt. And as we pray, the Lord, our prayer focus, will remind us, hey, I have forgiven you so much. Go ahead and forgive them. Pray with reflective forgiveness. Now here's number six. Pray with protective deliverance. Pray with protective deliverance. Oh, this is cool. Matthew 6:13, still in the Model Lord's Prayer, says, do not lead us into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. Wow, this is the Lord. He will deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. It's the enemy that draws us into temptation, though there are times, like we know, when Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, he ended up being in temptation, but it's not like the Lord is creating the opportunity. The enemy is creating the opportunity, but he does send a message to us that in this world, you will be tempted. There will be evil, but I will protect you from that as you stay in a posture of abiding with me. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 puts it this way, 3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. That's prayer. That's our chief weaponry. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to obedience in Christ. Oh, I just love that. There's so much to say about that. But again, you can go to the series, markpg.org, click on broadcasts, click on Portraits of God, and look for this series about how he is our prayer focus. Now we come to number 7 out of the 20, and it's to pray for your enemies. Wow, this is a surprising one. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Can you imagine being a disciple of Jesus and hearing him say that? Wait a minute. These Romans who make us carry their armor for a mile in the heat, and then you say carry it a second mile and all that stuff. They're persecutors, they're oppressors, they're vulgar, they hate us, and then they're the others who are after us as well, and we got to pray for them? Well, the reality is we are all ragamuffins. We are all wounded. We are all embittered. We are all sinful. All the more to pray for one another and even pray for your enemies. And really, there's one big enemy. It's the enemy, Satan. And the people are being victimized by his lies, by his distortions, and by his craftiness and schemes. They're not your enemy, really. It's the ultimate enemy. So we're going to pray for our enemies with a little e, who are the victims of the big enemy with a big E, and that gives us a heart of compassion to pray for them, that they might be rescued from the snare of the devil, being held captive by him to do his will. Powerful. Wow, I had a lot to say about that one. Now, number 8, pray in the house of God. Pray in the house of God. Matthew 21:13, for you note takers, puts it this way, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. Now, this, of course, was following the cleansing of the temple. By the way, when he was cleansing the temple and he made the whip and all of that, you know, there are those who think was he doing this in utter wrath, uncontrollable rage? Of course not. He took the time to make a whip. But another way that I've seen it depicted and talked about, which really resonates with me, is that he wasn't doing it so much out of uncontrollable rage at all. It was out of anguish, kind of anger. Oh, I'm just so grieved. This just makes me angry. You have just been using the house of God as a robber's den with your inflated interest charges and the conversion rate of the currency to buy the temple animals, everything from a dove to a lamb to a calf and stuff and making money, exorbitant prices off him. You have just abused all of this. And he was in such anguish about that. It should be the house of God. It should be a house of prayer, not one of commerce and cheating others. It was anguish. We're to pray in the house of God. We're to pray in the house of God because it is a house of prayer, of communion, of conversation with the Lord, corporate prayer together at the feet of the Lord. Powerful, powerful. Now, number nine, the Lord, our prayer focus, yearns for us to pray in the early morning. You know, Jesus did this. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 tells us that in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went away to a secluded place, and was praying there. I hope you do take advantage of the early morning, go off on a prayer walk like I described earlier, the Star Field prayer walks. They're wonderful. Now, number 10.
Excuse me.
Sorry about that. Okay, number 10, pray often out in nature. Pray often out in nature. Why do I say this? Because Luke 5, 16 puts it this way. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Boy, there's something about seeing his creation out there, looking over some running water or a lake or a forest or some trees or beautiful foliage or whatever it is, a big mountain vista. Oh, get out in nature often and be drawn by creation to get a glimpse of the Holy One, the Creator. And your prayer life will take a nice big leap of joy as you do that. Number 11, pray with strengthening alertness. Pray with strengthening alertness. Luke 21, verse 36. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and stand before the Son of Man. My friends, we're living in a very, very warlike time. Wars of all kinds, social wars, the woke stuff, the LGBTQ agendas, the gender identity issues, abortion, humanism, all kinds of things are going on in the culture wars, and there's literal wars, and there's all kinds of, oh, just tragedies going on, and starvation and trafficking and all. Pray with strengthening alertness. He wants warriors. He wants soldiers, even though we're also brothers and sisters and tender-hearted shepherds. It's a both and, not an either or. Number 12. The Lord, our prayer focus, wants us to pray for recovering faithfulness. Luke 22:32 puts it this way. Jesus said, but I've prayed for you, sends this to Peter, that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. He was telling me, you're going to deny me three times, but I'm praying your faith may not fail. But didn't it? He failed three times. Yeah, but he came back, which means he didn't ultimately fail. Why? Because Jesus was praying for his recovering faithfulness, and we should do likewise for those around us. Number 13 is to pray with devoted brethren. Pray with devoted brethren. Acts 2, 42 tells us that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were spurring one another on, my friends. We get together with devoted brethren and we break bread together. We study the scriptures together, listening to teachings together, but we pray together. There's power in corporate group prayer. Number 14, pray to empower others. Acts 6, verse 6. This is when there was a need for people to watch over widows who were being neglected. And so the leaders, the elders, as it were, told the people to call themselves together, get the congregation and select people of full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit to put in charge of this task, the first deacons. And it says that and these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them, a symbol that we are empowering you by prayer before the Lord and setting you apart as deacons, servants, that's what it literally means, ministers and servants, were setting you apart. It adds something to that when you get to Acts 13:3. This is number 15 on our list. We've been talking about all kinds of things, and now we're talking about praying with empowering fasting. Pray with empowering fasting. It says in Acts 13:3, then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. This is kind of the ordination practice or commissioning or confirming or blessing those that God seems to raise up to say, these are uniquely gifted, have a unique calling. Let's set them apart. Let's authenticate them before the body of Christ and lift them up to the Lord. And they did it with empowering fasting and the ceremony of laying on of hands. Beautiful thing. I love ordination and commissioning services. Number 16, pray through your deepest groanings. This is so deep, to be sure. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. My friends, there are times when my heart is so filled. I'm experiencing so much, so deep. I don't even have words to describe it because I can't quite get my head around what's going on and why I'm feeling this way. We have times that we need to vent, and it can only be done through groanings because we're not sure what's going on. But those groanings, and some might even have a form of speaking in tongues, not a language, but kind of tongues, emotional spirit, your spirit communing with the Spirit of God, where He does the interpreting. But it does vent it out. Whatever you're feeling, whatever you're struggling with, the groanings of prayer. Boy, those have been some of the deepest times. I'm on a need-to-know basis with the Lord, and I don't always know exactly what's going on in my own heart, because the heart is desperately wicked and deep, and it's who knows it, but the Spirit does. So let Him pray for you. It's okay to groan. Speaking in tongues is a good thing. It bypasses the mind, but the Spirit is speaking. And then the mind catches up later as the Lord leads and speaks. Marvelous thing. All right, we're going to the last four here, 17, 18, 19, and 20. The Lord, our prayer focus, wants us to, number 17, pray for enlightened hearts. Pray for enlightened hearts, Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Oh, pray for enlightened hearts, my friend, that you can see like He sees, that you can align your heart with His heart, receiving His truths, His insight, His forgiveness, His healing. Pray for enlightened hearts, for the light to turn on, to see all the work of God in that hour, in your heart, for that day. That's a beautiful thing. Oh, man, I love that. I hope you cultivate the kind of prayer that doesn't just speak, but also listens and watches so that your hearts might be enlightened. Pray for enlightened hearts. Number 18, in our list of 20, pray at all times in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18. I love this. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Be on the alert. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Doesn't mean to be babbling prayers verbally all the time. It has to have a heart that's tuned in to the frequency of the Spirit of the living God. Take any radio, old radio, and you have to twist the dial or press the digital buttons to get to the right frequency to pluck out of the air that particular station's music and commentary and whatever that has on. Well, we need to tune our hearts that way. Pray at all times, being so tuned into the frequency of the Spirit of God that we're praying at all times, ongoing conversation, hearing His whispers from above, learning how to be still and know that He is the Lord, to be still and to be quiet in heart, to hear the whispers in this noisy world of ours, and sometimes in our noisy hearts. Be still, be quiet. Pray at all times in the Spirit, listening for His whispers every moment of every day. Wow. Now, number 19, our Lord, our prayer focus wants us to pray with abounding love. Pray with abounding love. Philippians 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment. We don't have to pray, my friends. We get to pray. We get to converse. We love talking with those that we really, really love. And the more you fall in love with the Lord Jesus, the more you want to pray with him. And you will pray with abounding love. And finally, a good way to wrap it up. Number 20, pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 dramatically puts it this way. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're to pray about everything. We're to pray without ceasing. We're to pray without abounding love, as we said, but always with thanksgiving. Lord, even in the midst of the struggle or trial, I thank you, though, that you're teaching me, you're holding me, you're guiding me, you're strengthening me as we go along. And I trust you in all these things. And I thank you, Lord. And then list all the things you're thankful for in the midst of the struggle. And it's a game changer. And it's a peacemaker. The Lord is our prayer focus, my friends. Never lose sight of that. Check this out on my website, markpg.org. He is our prayer focus. Lord, thank you so much for this. It's so encouraging to know that you love to talk with us, and we love to talk with you. Thank you for taking care of us in mighty ways, oh Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, our prayer focus.